player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron from South Bend to Arrowhead. From football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program.
Hour number two of the program, Tim Grunhard joins us.
The best hour of the week.
That's right, Tim Grunhard. Have you worked out?
I did.
Twice?
Just once today.
No, did you do your morning cardio?
I did.
That's a workout.
It is. Oh, yes, I have worked
out. Two-a-day Timmy.
Two-a-day Timmy. I'm just trying to stay relevant here, health-wise. I don't want to feather any guy's nest.
Where was I? I was somewhere, and I showed the picture. By the way, what does that mean?
Feather some guy's nest when you die, and then they take your money, and then they go find a younger guy, and you feather their nest.
Oh.
So wow. That ain't happening.
So you die.
I'm living.
You're talking about your wife,
yes.
But then go find somebody
that's
younger.
That's right. Go find somebody younger. And
oh boy.
Take all the money that I earned. And
best hour of radio?
You never heard that expression before?
No.
Oh, that's an old school.
I guess.
Don't want to feather some other guy's nest.
Yeah.
So keep on working out. Seren.
I did work out today.
All right.
It's one in a row.
One in a row.
Yep. We'll see if we can build on it tomorrow.
Keep stacking them. Stacking those workouts.
That's right. I was going somewhere with you, and I'm lost.
Yeah. That's usually what happens when I come in.
All this nest feathering that's going on.
I'll screw you up. You were taking a picture of somebody or something.
Oh, I showed the picture. I can't remember who I was talking to. But I showed the picture of you and Jed when you wore the same 810 shirt.
Yeah.
And we had our Who Wore It Better competition.
I like Jed. I thought Jed did a good job with it.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I like myself, too, and I kicked Tim's ass in the competition.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He did.
That was for
comedic. It was a Twitter poll. I think he got like 80%.
It was for comedic purposes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Mm. So there you have it.
It was.
All right. The comments of Brett Veach. You heard them.
I
we
did.
We just played them at the end of last hour. What do you make of them? Chris Jones.
Well, I mean, obviously.
Open and honest. Had dialogue. Basically, what was said there?
Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere. I don't see Chris Jones giving in at all. I don't see his agent giving in at all. This is going to be a long, drawn-out process, and it might not be good enough. And I think right now, in most of the rankings, he's either number one or number two in free agents coming out this year. You know, he's rarely the best player on the field because Patrick Mahomes is there. I mean, obviously, one's on the offensive side, one's on the defensive side, but when you think of the Kansas City Chiefs, you think of Patrick Mahomes. But he might just be, you know, you got J.J. Watt and you got Aaron Donald, but he just might be one of the best defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen to come out in a long, long time. And he played injured this year. They won a Super Bowl this year. He's going to get paid. Now, whether the Chiefs decide to put a franchise tag, which they could.
Right, but is this – I'm talking specifically about what he said. Did
yeah.
you hear anything in what he said? There, I mean, we can play it again.
Yeah, play it again. I'm not sure exactly what you're trying to get at, but maybe I'm missing out. I mean, you have to start
because I don't think he said anything.
No, but what he did say is, you know, we have to start the negotiations. It's going to be, you know, they've been open, we've been open, and it just, I mean, so yeah, go ahead and play it again, and let's see if I can find out what you're exactly looking for here.
All right. First of all, he was asked if putting the franchise tag. This was actually how they phrased it, right?
Yeah, he asked about putting the tag.
Right.
I think this is one of.
What did they use the word possibility?
I think the question possibility was in the question
because right. like
is that remain a possibility?
I mean, welcome to the party, guy.
Right.
I mean,
I can't remember who asked it, but
maybe they just wanted to get it rolling. But yeah, obviously it's a possibility, but. He was asked if putting the franchise tag on Jones is a possibility.
Yeah, listen, it's certainly a priority for us, and I had mentioned that. I mean, sometimes these things take some time to work through. You know, as you mentioned, the franchise tag is something that we have the ability to use. We certainly like to see if we can work something out with him, and I think the tandem of Chris Jones and Frank Clark is something that any team would want, and we're going to work hard to see if we can get that done.
So, I mean, I think it's a possibility. I think if they do put the franchise
tag,
this is
going to
get, Yeah. I think it'll get really ugly. I do. I mean, it's really kind of started out that way before.
All right. So let's hold that thought. And here's the other one that we ran.
Okay.
Veach says negotiations with Jones have been ongoing.
We actually have a meeting scheduled up here in the next couple of days. We had dialogue last offseason. We had dialogue prior to the season starting. Chris did a great job of blocking all that and just really attacking the season. He handled it like a true pro. Now we have the opportunity, once this cycle comes back around, to pick up where those conversations left off, and hopefully we can make some headway and get something done. Listen, all dialogue is good dialogue, and I think just being up front where we are as an organization and, you know, what our expectations are in regards to what Chris and his camp, what their expectations are, the last thing you want is for something to go awry because there just wasn't enough communication. So you can't have enough dialogue, and like I said, they've been very open and honest with us, and we feel we've been have handled this situation in a very similar fashion. So again, we're looking forward to sitting down with his agents this week and continuing to pick up on the dialogue and where it left off.
All right, all dialogue is good dialogue. Let me ask you, in his comment, what he just said there, when is the next dialogue?
Well, obviously, I think, what is the next dialogue?
When
he is, said, well, when he it said is. This week.
The next meeting.
Right.
This meeting. Yeah, this week.
This week in Indianapolis.
Yeah, sure.
When was the last dialogue?
Sounded like it was...
Before the season.
Before last year.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, before the season started.
I guess there's been ongoing dialogue. If you call a six-month break ongoing... There has been. I mean, listen. I don't.
The term dialogue. It's.
This is not to ridicule Veach.
No,
at all. My point is to just try to help people understand what's really going on, so that they don't get pissed.
But not to mince words or not to. There has been dialogue. I am betting that Brett Veach has sat in the back of the bus with Chris Jones after a game.
I bet he has.
And just said, hey, we tell you how much we value what you did for us, how much. Dialogue is, I don't think they talked contract. I don't think they talked numbers.
Then it's not dialogue.
Well, no, they've talked about, listen, how valuable he is, how they think that he is, the best defensive player on the field.
No
when
way.
He's out. I bet they have.
Why?
Why not?
Why would why not? Did anybody come back?
When you were
talking contracts, somebody come back there and tell you how great
you were?
Yes,
they did. They did. They said, hey,
no,
you know what?
We never won.
No, listen. Listen, we value the amount of plays you're playing. We value what you do on the field.
Okay.
We value the leadership.
I don't want to get caught in semantics.
No,
Fine. Either. They think he's a great guy. Good job, Chris.
The term dialogue is so easy to move around.
You don't think that Chris Jones is camp and Chris Jones knows that he's the best defensive player and they know? I mean, why not put that open?
But that doesn't matter. I'm talking about getting a contract done. How many times they blew smoke up his ass or whispered sweet nothings in his ear is irrelevant now.
Absolutely.
All that matters is getting the contract done.
Absolutely. But when he says that he has some dialogue, I don't think that you can say, well, he didn't talk to him since before the season. About the contract, I feel quite confident
they have not had dialogue, which is what he's talking about. And then he named off when they're going to have it. We're going to have it this week in a few days. And we talked last offseason, and we talked before the season.
So those were
the three times he mentioned. So for 6 months, they have not talked contract. Now, I bring this up, but my point to this is for everyone to understand. There's no reason to talk until there's a deadline. Right? So this picks up where they were 6 months ago, which was apart. And Chris Jones has had the season he's had.
Right.
Did they say, great job, Chris?
Well, sure.
But that didn't do anything to advance contracts.
Very rarely, unless you're a guy that's going to re-up in the middle of a season, which obviously he's not going to do that. You don't talk contract and numbers during the season at all with anybody. You don't talk with their agents. You kind of, listen, let's get through this season, especially with the turmoil they had in the beginning of the season. The last thing that they're going to do is talk numbers of contract. But I do think that they let Chris Jones know how important he is to this organization, because I don't think, and we've talked about this before, I don't think that they express that as well as they probably could in the last part of the contract that he just went through. And that's why, he was upset and, I'm not getting the love that I deserve and all those kind of things. And I think they probably gave him a little bit of sugar. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
All right. Okay.
I'm just. That's my opinion. I've seen that happen.
Okay.
But,
that's great.
But I mean,
is that going to get him to sign?
No,
his name?
It's not. Not even
all right,
close.
So can we get to the part about him signing his name?
Yeah.
Because I don't think any of that has anything to do with it.
But you were getting on Brett Veach for not having dialogue with him at all during the season.
I'm not getting on Brett Veach at all. I'm a big fan. In fact, when Brett Veach, people were saying fire the guy, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
No.
You can't even begin to judge the guy till he's been on the job for like four years. I'm not getting on Brett Veach at all.
No.
My point is, everyone is going to take from these comments what they want to hear.
Absolutely.
And I want to zero in and highlight. I mean, you listened to it twice, and I asked you when they talked, and you still weren't sure.
No, I'm not.
Because you're going
to
hear what you want
to
hear.
I took your statement to mean that the notion that there has been ongoing dialogue is being overplayed by the general manager.
Listen, maybe.
Because they haven't talked about it specifically since the beginning of last season.
Listening to every word that someone says is not always a positive. It's a skill I have. It doesn't work at home, let me tell you. Throwing back comments at your wife that she made, you said this, is not a good skill to have.
It's not so much a listening issue as it is an execution.
Right. So my point is, though, I want to highlight things because I think Brett Veach actually checked himself a couple of times and made sure he didn't say anything that was not true. He said there's been ongoing dialogue, and because that's what people want to hear right now. They haven't talked for 6 months about his contract. So we pick up where they
were. Which is why he uses the term dialogue, because it can mean anything.
And that's my point. I mean,
hung out at Quick Trip.
I know where you're at now. Did they talk about specific contract and numbers? So no, they did not.
Right, because once
the
season
began. But have they
had
dialogue? Yes, they have. So it's an old politician deal where, you know, he's not lying, but maybe they talked about the weather.
Maybe they talked about what's for
dinner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's dialogue.
Yes.
So he's not lying when he says that.
Listen,
I'm not saying that he's lying either.
I don't think they walked by each other in the halls pissed.
No.
They made a business decision.
Right.
Each side did. Listen, you signed Chris Jones to an extension before last year to get him for less money than what he'll get on the other side. Chris Jones signs a contract before last year to get $40 or $50 million guaranteed that he can't get this year.
Right.
He's rolling the dice, taking, what did he have, $1.5 million or $2.2 million? I think it was $1.5 million with $700,000 in bonuses. Cap number was $2.2 million, and he got about $1.5 million in cash.
Uh-huh.
So he voted for $1.5 million over $40 million. Because I'm going to ballpark where the guaranteed, where the signing bonus slash guaranteed money would have been. He took $1.5 million over 40, betting on himself that he'll play bigger, and that number will have to be higher. And it even if he just is okay, it'll be higher because he's now closer to free agency, but he runs the risk of getting hurt to where he either can't play the game anymore or hurt to where he can't play at as high a level and never gets a $40 million check again.
Right.
He played through that risk. He came through the other side. He had 9 sacks in 12 games and was phenomenal in the Super Bowl. He won. He bet on himself, and he won. So now they pick up. The Chiefs were here. He's asking for up here. Right. The reports I've been told is he was asking for Aaron Donald money. Now a year closer to free agency, he's got even more reason to ask for it. The question is, do the Chiefs have the reason to give it to him when you take into account the other people around
him? No. I mean, I just don't see it happening. Patrick Mahomes has taken all the oxygen out of the
– And that's why I laid out, you're not going to know what you're going to pay Patrick Mahomes until Deshaun Watson. And what might happen is stupid-ass Jerry Jones may give Dak Prescott $40 million. I mean, like, I just heard the debate. Do you remember what happened last year? A running back, which everybody apparently on the free planet – understands is not that valuable anymore, went to Barbados or Bermuda or where the hell did he go and hit out? Zeke Elliott hit out Bahamas.
Yeah.
Went to the Bahamas, said, screw you, didn't show up for like 3 preseason games, and Jerry Jones collapsed and gave him a deal that everybody had already agreed you should never give. Why would Dak Prescott sign?
Yeah, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Why, sitting here in Kansas City, would you think there's any chance that Jerry Jones is going to win this negotiation from Dak Prescott? You expect Jerry Jones to drop trow, get screwed on the deal, and that, by the way, is going to screw you because you can't even begin the negotiations anywhere north of 2, 3, 4% of whatever Dak Prescott gets.
No, you're absolutely right.
So if you lock into Aaron Donald money with Chris Jones, not even knowing what you've got to do for Patrick Mahomes, not even knowing what Jerry Jones is probably not going to do till July. And I'm going to go back to something else you said, which I think is vital to understanding the timeline on this. But you can't even begin to give Aaron Donald money to Chris Jones. I don't think if you've got it, we're talking 40 on Patrick Mahomes. What if stupid Jerry Jones gives Dak Prescott 40?
Yeah,
then
we're at 45.
Then it's 45.
All right, so you don't even know what the market is for him. And Deshaun Watson and the Texans, who have cap room, are looming out there as well. God only knows what they'll do. So you give Aaron Donald money to Chris Jones, not even knowing what the market is yet for Patrick Mahomes, because it's still to be set. And couple that with the fact of what you said. If they franchise him, you think it'll be ugly, right?
It'll get ugly. Yes, it will.
Do you think he will come to camp and play on a franchise tag?
I don't think he'll come to camp. I don't even know if he'll play. I really don't. I mean, as nasty as it got.
You think he goes, and we just saw it last year.
Yep.
Kyle Williams, the left tackle of the Redskins,
right,
sat out till 5 weeks to go, came back, and then had some kind of mystery injury after like one game, and sat the rest of the year, accrued his service time, took roughly a third of his game checks,
right. Yep.
And now will either get the tag again or will get the free agency he sought. He was 32 years old,
hey, listen,
right?
Dan Williams sat out for a whole season.
31.
He was 31 years
Williams,
old.
Yeah,
Chris Jones is what, 26?
I think.
Do you remember that?
Right.
Dan Williams,
oh,
Kansas
yeah.
City Chief,
oh, yeah.
sat out a whole
year with
season.
The Broncos.
Whole season.
Yeah, Jones will be 26 on July 3rd.
In order
so
to
not
get
even 26.
25.
And who, the running back, the kid who's with the Jets now, he sat out
Le'Veon
a whole
Bell.
Season. There's precedent
there
for
is
sitting out a whole season.
And,
for
and Le'Veon
guys.
Bell didn't get a Zeke Elliott contract, but he got more than what the Steelers were going to give him in a one-year deal. Right? His guaranteed money, look up the Le'Veon Bell contract. The running back number was going to be like $13 million.
So you're really in a catch-22 if you're the Chiefs. Number one, you can't really pay Chris Jones what he's worth and what he's want. What, you could probably pay him what he's worth, but can you pay what he
what
wants?
What he wants four and, for, and what it's going to take to sign it, him.
So,
4 for $52.5 million, 35 guaranteed.
So he got – so Le'Veon Bell, who had a crappy year, but monetarily said, no, I'm not playing for the $13 or $14 million tag, and he got 35 for doing it.
Yep, he did.
We're going to see what happens with Williams now, but why would Chris Jones come in? Why are you thinking Chris Jones is going to play 16 games in this climate when Jerry Jones collapsed and Le'Veon Bell got paid? What makes you think when you put a franchise tag on him that he's going to come in with a big, fat smile on his face? First of all, he's not going to sign the thing until the last week of camp.
Right.
And we listen to, whether you believe it or not, Steve Spagnuolo say, well, remember, he wasn't in on any of the OTAs. He wasn't in on any of that. Like, it was holding them back during the course of the year of going where they wanted to go defensively. Right? That comment was made. So if he's not even – your best-case scenario is he comes in with, like, 2 weeks of camp because he knows he's not going to have to play the last preseason game. Worst-case scenario is he's going to hold out to the last 5 weeks of the season – and you're going to go down this road. So to me, where I'm at is I try to get a deal done. I give him my last best offer. And this is what it is, and the deadline is franchise tag day. And that offer stands, okay, as long as you sign it. But in the meantime, I'm going to try to trade you. And if I get what I think you're worth, then you're gone. And I wish you the best. It's a business. And no one should be mad at Chris Jones for doing this.
No, they should.
Because it's a business.
And nor should anybody be mad at the Kansas City Chiefs for doing this, because you got to remember what's out there. And I was just at a place today, and somebody said, I heard that Jerry Jones said that he would give Patrick Mahomes blah, blah, blah amount of money to come to Texas and come back to Texas and play for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't even know. It was like $500 million, some crazy number. I was like, what are you talking about? But the reality is that you are going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is Kansas City football right now, and Kansas City football is Patrick Mahomes.
There's no hometown discount. If you want to talk hometown discount after this six-year contract when he banks $200 million, okay,
well,
I'll listen to it.
Well, they're not talking about a hometown discount. They're talking about, hey, let's get him back to Texas.
No, I know. So they're talking about in Dallas, saying with fans.
Yeah.
With fans. Because he actually is a guy that if you don't pay him the top dollar, Does he want to gamble? I mean, I wouldn't walk away from $125 million guarantee, which is what I think he's going to get minimum. It'll be a $200 million overall, roughly, extension. And he's going to know the day he signs he's going to get $125 million, right? I couldn't walk on $125 to run the risk for four consecutive years. He's not out as a free agent next year. He can't get to the open market for 4 years. There isn't a third franchise tag, is there?
I don't think.
I don't think so.
Two.
So he's got this year his fourth year. The Chiefs will be kicking in the fifth-year option. And then a franchise tag and another franchise tag.
Oh, God.
So you're turning down $125 million to make five this year, about 25 next year. So you got to go through 2 years without getting seriously injured. You're at 30. Then the franchise tag kicks in. That'll probably be 30. Now you're at 60 million. Then another franchise tag at about 36. Maybe my numbers are a little bit off, but I'm not far.
Not far off.
So you're now talking about you've gone through four seasons of NFL football, of which he's already missed two games and has kneecap turned on its side, and he will have banked $96 million. He's still $30 million short of what they can give him right now.
Right. No.
With all kinds of other money that'll kick in as long as you don't get seriously hurt and still get to free agency then at age 31. Come on.
I mean, there's no indication he's not going to do that.
Right.
And there's no indication the Chiefs are going to do that. But what there is an indication, because of this kind of money, you can't do it. You can't find a way to pay Chris Jones. You can't.
The reason Patrick Mahomes will sign is he's 4 years away from getting out there to get anything as big as what they'll give him right now.
Right now. You're right.
But that begs the point of we don't know what that number is going to be.
But that doesn't
Everybody
mean...
talks about that number like it's going to be $500,000 more than Jared Goff. And I'm telling you, that's not going to be the number. And you don't even know what it is. So why would you leave yourself at a spot where you're looking at it going, oh, God, we got to cut Mitchell Schwartz to make this thing work.
You're going to have to do a lot to make things work. You're going to still have to do a lot to make this thing whole work. I mean,
I think you offer him a deal that's probably a little more than whatever you offered him last year. Chris Jones, I'm talking about.
Right.
If he signs it, great. We all sing Kumbaya. Yeah. We move on, and you cut some players. You walk away from some free agents. You start trading down. You get a lot of young players that are cheap, and you say, we're going to build with stars and Jags. And I think that's a good plan.
The Patriots have done that for many years.
But if he won't sign the contract that you say this is all we can do because of what we're gonna have to do with our quarterback and the fact that we have a lot of other players, then you get him out, shop him, and I believe in a year that there is no great pass rushers, there are not a lot, at least it's considered a thin crop of pass rushers in college.
You got Clowney out there, you got Barrett out there, you got Nick Winikwe, whatever his name is.
Ngakwe. A thin crop of pass rushers that you're going to get somebody that gives you at least a first-round pick for Chris Jones.
Yeah, no, you are. Absolutely.
Seen a story on NFL.com a year ago. A player can be tagged up to three times by his team with a jump and pay each occurrence. That must be something.
It's 20% every time?
Just as a jump and pay in each
occurrence. I know it's 20 from one to two, so I'll bet it's another 20.
Wow.
So then the next time he makes
43. Has anybody done that?
So he's 5 years away from getting to the open market, and he would have banked roughly the same amount of money they'll give him now.
Right.
Now. That's why I think there is no way he doesn't sign a long-term deal if he's the highest-paid quarterback out there. As long as you make him the highest-paid player in football, he's going to sign because it is by far the smartest financial decision
this offseason. You think that Patrick Mahomes is going to get a deal done?
I think they want to get it done before the regular season starts. The other deals got done was training camp time. And I think that's when it likely happens, assuming Prescott's done. And if he's on a franchise tag, that's a wild card. I don't know what the hell happens there.
By the way, he is in the number one, which I don't know, number one free agent. Chris Jones is number two in most of the rankings of free
agents. And Deshaun Watson signed. And so some of this is not even in the Chiefs' hands or Patrick Mahomes' hands.
Boy, you know, I never thought about that Cowboys angle. That is not a good thing for the Kansas City Chiefs at all. It's not a good thing at all.
Word is that the Cowboys offered him 33.
And he's
said, Russell Wilson's making 35, and I don't think Dak Prescott's near as good as Russell Wilson. And he said no to 33 per.
Jerry Jones thinks if he pays him more than anybody, he has the best quarterback.
I mean, he's not the best running back.
If he gets to 40.
To me, the ultimate thing is Dak Prescott going to come into camp? Quarterbacks usually do, because everybody needs the quarterback. So quarterbacks usually do. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, there was talk, would they hold out? It's no. Quarterbacks, when there's contract stuff, they go ahead and come in because everything needs the quarterback to work. So they go ahead and come in. Well, Jerry Jones, if he's suddenly gotten old and cantankerous, or his son's like, I'm going to show you a new way of doing business, because $33 million is more than Dak Prescott's worth based upon Russell Wilson being worth $35 million. And so if they get a hair and say, screw you, no, we're going to franchise tag you for 5 years.
Well, this article I'm reading, it says, the chickens have come home to roost. The bill has come due. It's time to pay the piper. The big man cometh, and that's Dak Prescott.
How many metaphors are they going to use there?
I know. I mean, $35 million a year. And the other thing is, he was in the MVP race the first 3 months of the last couple of years. He was in the race.
And then didn't make the playoffs.
What have they done? What have they done with that? Why would you pay him that kind of money?
I wouldn't. If I were the Cowboys, I would trade him.
Absolutely.
Let somebody else pay him way too much and go sign Tom Brady.
Same top. By the way, he's in this list.
Phillip Rivers. Any of the veterans that are out
there. He's 14th. He's 17th. He's the fourth quarterback in the free agency market right now. The fourth
according
quarterback.
According to
NFL.com.
Okay.
So you got Dak Prescott, number one. Okay, you have Ryan Tannehill, number two. You have
Phillip Rivers.
Drew Brees, number three. Phillip Rivers, he's number four. So there you go.
Brady's four and Rivers is five?
Rivers is five.
Okay. Do you
like that?
If you're the Cowboys, though, listen to those quarterbacks that are available.
I mean,
they're all old. I get it. And so you're like, well, who are we going to have in 4 years? Well, I don't know. But they keep talking. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. But they keep talking like they're this Super Bowl team that's some bad luck just keeps biting them. Okay, if you believe that, then why would you give $33 million to Prescott when you could give $25 to Phillip Rivers?
Well, listen, I was listening to your
And have more money to spend on the rest of the team.
I was listening to your first hour. You're talking about small ball and Houston basketball.
Yeah.
All right, so the guys now fit the system, what they're doing in Houston, and they're winning games. What did the Titans do this year? They had a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill to fit the system. How great would that system work with the Cowboys?
How about Ryan Tannehill at $15, $16 million playing for the Cowboys?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Saving yourself $17 million per.
That's a no-brainer.
To go spread around everywhere else and hand off to Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
Who damn well better carry the load because you made him the highest paid running back.
Right. Absolutely right. That's not going to happen, but it
should. You could sign Tannehill and Derrick Henry in Dallas for the same money as Dak Prescott and just say Pony Express.
Or you can,
we'll run both of them. We'll give them each 20 carries. We'll run it 40 times. You could take the Titans game plan. I think it's a flawed game plan.
Or you could get Cooper back,
but you
could
do
too.
It.
You can get Cooper back because Cooper's ranked third.
Yes.
So you could get Cooper back and Tannehill.
For less than Prescott.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll take a break.
He's been a declining player the last 3 years.
Who?
Prescott. After his rookie year.
He had 5,100 yards passing. Yeah, the touchdowns.
Right. But his passer rating is only 95.
Listen,
he's thrown two fewer touchdowns than Mahomes has thrown in the last 2 years.
How many playoff games has Dak Prescott won?
I think he's won one.
Did he win one? Who'd they beat? We'll look that up. Yeah. We'll take a break. Tim Grunhard's here.
The program with Soren Petro.
I don't know. I don't know.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. Two Ohio State Buckeyes have been named first team All-Pro 6 times. Both wore the number 77. I asked for either one. 77 in the NFL.
All-Pro.
Where did Willie Rome go?
Give it to me again.
Two Ohio State Buckeyes have been named first-team All-Pro 6 times, both more than ever 77 in the pros.
Oh, wow.
I asked for either one.
Rove wore 77, but he didn't go to Ohio State.
Yeah,
he went
to
Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech, okay.
Oh,
boy.
Dan Wilkinson wore 99, right? He wore 77, I think, at Ohio State. No, he wore 72. Probably O tackles, right? One O tackle, one D tackle.
I think they're both tackles.
Old school D tackle or
both in the one's
O lineman.
One's in the Hall of Fame, one is not.
Well, Jim Tyre was a
Jim Tyre's one of them.
Okay.
Six for the Chiefs, born on this date.
Great player, Jim Tyre.
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
He was a nine-time
Pro
Bowler.
It was really
played
cool.
13 years with Chiefs. He was in the Pro Bowl nine straight years.
On a side note, it's really cool down at the Super Bowl. Jason, his son, brought the Super Bowl ring. For the first time, he's never taken it out of the top drawer until the Super Bowl, and he took it out. And he was very proud
There's
of
some
me.
More stuff he going on good. There with Jason. I've touched base with him a couple of times as well. And I think, you know, the CTE relevance of it, I think the Jim Tyre story needs to be told.
I do, too.
You know, because I think that was the first example, and nobody understood what was really going
41.
On. And now we've got a much better understanding of what happened.
Speaking of CTE,
then.
I will
After
be
the
at
1980.
I'll be at UMKC tonight doing a little presentation on CTE and head trauma and football and youth sports. So I'm looking forward to that tonight, UMKC.
All right. So Jim Tyre, I nailed one.
Yep.
It's on you, Tim. I've done all the heavy lifting I can do.
Other guys also named Jim. Played about the same time that Jim Tyre did.
Played the same time?
Around the same time. May have started a little earlier. He started a little earlier.
Jim Otto?
Nope.
No. Jim Otto went to
Baltimore Colts. Tackle Jim Parker.
Jim Parker, yeah.
That was Hall of Famer.
That was Glenn's dad.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't.
I'm quite.
That would be a story. Jim Parker sired Glenn Parker.
There you go.
Could have been adopted.
Did you guys see that the Buccaneers? The Buccaneers are going to get some new unis this year.
Really?
They need
them. What they've worn the last 3 or 4 years is
brutal.
Absolute embarrassment.
What are they going to?
I don't know. They said they're going to unveil it right before the season, so you got to hold your water until the beginning of the season.
You just said during the break, by the way, great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. That's what we're playing for. Live music, great happy hour. Great Cajun food.
Great place. Great place.
During Lent?
No better place to go on Wednesday.
Fat Tuesday at the Jazz. That's the only place in town to go for Fat Tuesday.
And then on Ash Wednesday, it'd be good seafood there. And then every Friday. It's that time of the year, Saran.
Fat Tuesday, Jazz, tonight. Everyone should go. We are trying to get done with a dance class to go to Jazz. But then again, my family. But I'm also thinking that
your whole family's doing a dance class.
No, one daughter is doing
a
family
dance class.
We're not going to dinner without her.
Okay. They're like doing a.
Well, I thought maybe you guys were, you know, going to be like the Van Traps or something.
No, I'm not dancing.
It's going to be the Doe, dear. I could see you.
Not only am I not dancing, like, my wife won't even dance with me.
The Partridge
That's
Family.
That's how bad I am.
The Partridge Family. Yeah. There you go. Old school.
Nice.
Danny.
Yeah.
He is definitely Danny Partridge if he was a kid.
Who's Mr. Kincaid then?
All right, enough. You just said you think the combine's done.
I just think it's not as relevant as it used to be. For a couple reasons. Number one, you know, these kids leave now right after their football season, some in December, some in January, and they go to California and Florida, and they train for all the drills and train for everything they're going to do in the combine for like 3 months. So they have run the 60-yard shuttle 400 times. They've done the three-cone drill. They've done the 225 on the – they train for the combine. So that part of it, I think it's become a made-for-TV special now. I'm wondering, and I haven't had a chance, if you ever get a chance to talk to Brett Veach about it or some of the scouts over there, ask him, say, you know, I mean, how much do they really get out of the testing now? Back in the day, they would look at it, okay, it was kind of a spontaneous thing. You didn't practice all this stuff. They put you on the field. They wanted to see your athleticism. But you could practice it and look great and doing it, but you could still be, you know, have two left feet. So I'm not sure. And then I think the on-the-field drills are okay, but so many times now these kids have their own, camps where their own, like, workouts or their own tryouts or whatever it is with their individual schools. That a lot of that work is done there. And then I think really the best part of the whole combine is the verbal part where they can see.
I think that's good. Like, that's good.
But that's not on TV.
No, I think that's good. I think getting a chance to see him, see body types. The measurements are just about what's the body like, right? The film is still number one. But I will tell you what it does do. It weeds out the turds. Because you're right. Everybody does go work out. But if you don't, it shows up.
Yeah, it's true.
And so with millions of dollars on the line, knowing everybody else
but,
is going to come in ready to do those drills as well as they can, and you just smoke weed and eat brownies for 3 months.
To play the devil's advocate.
And you suck at it, you at least weed out the turds.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right. I was going to say there's probably some kids out there that, you know, can't afford to go to California, can't afford to go to Florida, can't afford to go to these camps. But if they're going to be asked to go to the combine, they probably have an agent.
Pay for it?
Yeah, they probably have an agent that's going to take care of it. So to your point, you're probably right. You know, who's going to put the time in? Who's going to put the effort in? You know, who's going to show that, you know, this is important to them? That's probably a part of it, too. I don't know. I just watching it, maybe I'm the old fuddy-duddy and the old guy because, I mean, we never practiced any of those things. I mean, we kind of showed up. I mean, you worked out and you ran. You did all that kind of stuff, and then you showed up. And I never did a three-cone drill until I got there. In fact, you know, and then the four-square drill, we had to, you know, do the different lane changes and stuff. I never did any of that stuff. So, you know, nowadays, I wonder how much they really get out of that testing when these kids have done it so many times and they are paying guys millions of dollars. And Cole Clement, who is a number one tight end coming out, a kid from Notre Dame, was real good friends with Colin. He left before the end of the semester, and he's been out there, and, you know, he's had an individual coach working with him on these drills individually for the last 2 months. Just, I mean, not in a group, individually working on these drills.
So you think the interview works, right? That
right,
works.
I do.
Who didn't work out? We know that. We find out who's lazy, right? So I think that comes in. I of the drills, like the bench press, I always love the bench press, but the guys who set the records really don't go on to be fantastic players.
They're good weightlifters.
Great weightlifters. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I think it would show is your hands. You know, I do believe in the – you can see if a guy's fighting the ball. You know, if he's bobbling it every time.
Okay, you're talking about receiving.
Yeah.
You're not talking about the hand measurements.
I love what Patrick
Mahomes said, by the way.
Yeah.
Because Burrow, I guess.
I've done okay with my small hands.
Yeah, but my small hands have done okay for me, which good for him.
I believe in you. Yeah, I agree.
Good for Patrick.
But
I just gets it, man.
Yeah, I know he does. He gets it in all ways. But I do think you can see guys that they're like struggling to catch the ball with their hands.
Their pluckability?
Yes. And I think, you know, because it didn't hurt him, but I remember watching who was the North Carolina tight end that went to Detroit and then the Colts? Ebenezer Ekubon?
Eric Ebron.
Who is Ebenezer Ekubon?
He was a line defensive end, I think.
Okay. Was it brother? Anyway, Eric Ebron. I can't imagine one was named Eric and the other was named Ebenezer, but, you know. Eric Ebron had like the highest drop rate of the top tight ends in college football when he was at North Carolina. And he came in and you could see it.
Right.
He didn't really catch the ball well. He dropped the ball all the time in Detroit. Fantasy people, a miracle occurred 2 years ago, and he had like 12 touchdowns. And trust me, it was a miracle. And I remember how much he was going for this year. I'm like, dude, he dropped so many balls, he just happened to catch the ones in the end zone. And his touchdowns fell off a cliff this year because he doesn't catch the ball well. And it showed up. I mean, he at the combine, he just did. It just looks funny. You can kind of see it looks different than the guy who's like.
Yeah, and if you talk about the offensive linemen, you know, obviously the drills are important. But
they
are. Basically, you're in your underwear. You're out there doing pass blocking. But what you're looking at is you're looking at your hand placement. You're looking at, you know, flexibility. Are they a waist bender? Can they dip their hips? Can they get their hips down and move without bringing their feet together? The pass set, you know, how comfortable they look in their pass set. It's hard to tell during individual periods and one-on-one what they can and can't do. Now, you want to look at athleticism. You want to see, especially nowadays in the NFL, you have to have some athleticism in offensive line. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you, when I was playing, there were some guys that were not very athletic. And I'm not going to call out who they were, but they were not very athletic. But they played a long time in the NFL because they were grinders and they were tough and they got in the way. But I don't think you can do that anymore. I think most of these guys have got to be pretty athletic. There was a guy out there that somebody I was listening. It's like 6'9", 380 pounds. as an offensive lineman, it's 380 pounds.
22-inch hands.
Who is that? Who are we talking about? He had like 12 or 13-inch hands. I mean, unbelievable sized man. I think I heard it on the afternoon during the midday show.
The Zone was talking about the guy.
Yeah, I was going in and out. But I'm thinking, okay, a 380-pound man. How athletic can he be? Well, these guys nowadays are pretty athletic at that size. It's amazing to me.
Well, you remember Aaron Gibson, the tackle from Wisconsin that the Lions took late in the first round, right? And he never ended up being that good, but no, he was like 380. He actually played tight end as a freshman at Wisconsin under Barry Alvarez, played in the Rose Bowl, like 4-something. He slimmed down. He was like 4-something. They bring him, you know, it's always been a power running game at Wisconsin, and he'd come in, play tight end, and basically just be a tackle. They gave him an 80s number because they didn't want him to report, right, every time they brought him in.
Right.
But they were all the time bringing him in and just running the extra tackle out there.
You know, the kind of the mythical creature when I was playing was the 400-pound offensive lineman. Will there ever be a 400-pound offensive lineman?
Leonard Davis was close, wasn't he?
I'm not sure if there's
like
one yet.
380 or something like that. Yeah. He was pretty close.
I'm not sure if there's one yet. It was, you know, funny. There was a guy that reported, I can't remember what team it was, that he'd be reported at like 350 pounds. And he was 349 pounds. And they were like, what in the hell did you do? You put on 49 pounds since you left. And the head coach, you know, the offensive line coach said, what do you want to do with this kid? They said, well, bring in a McDonald's and get him over 350, and then we'll start worrying about it. get him a couple Big Macs and get him over 350, and then we'll start worrying about it.
Well, but Dontari Poe came in at 346 and ran a 4.85.
I know, it's just amazing, man. And you know, it's amazing. Chris Jones, I mean, here's another. He's a big man now. He's lost some weight. He looks good. He's lost some weight. Now, there's another big man that was moving during the combine. That kid was running, and then he fell, and then that was the whole.
Yeah, he blew out the spandex.
Yes, he did.
We'll take a break. More with Grunty next.
The program with Soren Petro.
We call it a water cooler show.
Because the next day in the offices, people gather around the water coolers to talk about it.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Talking to Tim Grunhard here in the program. Soren Petro, Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall, Grunny, Tim, so do you have some position you like to watch on the combine?
Of course I like to watch the offensive linemen.
Yeah?
But, you know, no, not really.
Okay.
I really don't.
All right, then let me ask you this.
Yes.
Should Vontaze Burfict be let back into the NFL? His agent put out a thing saying he should be, he's been studying the rules and the code of conduct, and he's ready for another chance and ready to do it right.
Oh, man.
Should Vontaze Burfict, with 11 different code of conduct violations and I think like $450,000 in fines, be given a 12th chance?
I mean, it's a privilege to play in the NFL, not a right. So, you know, listen, you have to live up to the rules of the game. And, I mean, he's a dangerous person out there. And listen, there's a difference between being tough and being physical and being nasty and being dangerous. He's a dangerous guy. And, you know, if you're playing against him and he's going to do something that can harm you physically, that you maybe not be able to play the game again, then why put a guy like that on the field? I love tough football players, and I love guys that are going to get in there and put their face mask in your chest. But, I mean, there's a difference between being nasty, like a dangerous football player that's going to try and hurt you. And that's what he's done. He's tried to hurt people.
To me, if the NFL allows him to play again, any player who gets injured by him should sue the league.
Absolutely,
and all 32 owners for letting him back in. You put a dangerous individual back on the field. The NFLPA should nix him getting on the field.
You know what? I gotta get off the show. We've agreed on something. Okay. I gotta go. No, yeah, scary. He's a dangerous person, and it's just, you're right.
No place for him.
Sue the I would sue the hell out of him.
Tim, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate it. We look forward to breaking down the entire combine with you next week.
All right. Can't wait.
Watch those 40s.
Yeah, I'll be right on it.
Watch those 40s. We'll take a break. We come back. Corey Anderson joins us from the combine that Tim won't watch. It's next.
Here Been the there, done that.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, before Bradley Beal, who was the last player to score 50 points on both nights of a road back-to-back? Brought to you by Good Sense.